morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning. It is January 24th, 2022. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Evolution of a Witch Prompt Journal. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear," by Nelson Mandela. So, let me tell you about the week I had. Really positive. I booked a little while ago this like mini tiny cabin vacation thing. It's like this place called Getaway. I'll put a link in the podcast description if you want to check it out. But they were opening up like a new like outpost near my city. And their whole thing is that they open up these kind of little nature areas like 2 hours out from major cities. So people living in those cities can kind of get away. And it was really wonderful. I spent 3 days. I went during the week, so it was like much cheaper and it's pretty affordable. It's around the cost of kind of like a cheaper motel, you know? And basically I spent 3 days out in the middle of a national forest, going on nature walks and being completely alone. It was completely contactless, so I'd have to look at anyone or talk to anyone. I just got to sit and write and watch movies, and it was really lovely. And I had been crawling, clawing to this thing, you know what I mean? After everything, part of me was like, I just need this 3 day vacation and it'll make everything okay. So as I was going through my horrible end of the year, I was like, well, I just, if I can get to this point, I'll get a breather, you know? And I don't know what I was looking for. And I even said that to, I think, Kiki, before I went. I was like, I don't know what I think I'm going to find here, but something, some clarity, something. And I will say I learned a few things. One, I learned I'm extremely dehydrated. The first night I was there, I woke up like 4 times in the middle of the night for water. Afterwards, it lessened, you know. But I was like, wow, I don't think I've realized how dehydrated I am when I'm home and working and busy. I also learned that like the world doesn't fall apart because you leave for a few days, which I think is a hard lesson for all of us to learn all the time, and we need to relearn it constantly. But it was wonderful. I just needed a break. I needed to exist fully in myself, you know what I mean, without the outside stuff. So it was really lovely, and yeah, I highly recommend it if you ever have the opportunity to just take a break, you know, be with your own mind and your own self, and things feel so simple, you know, but it was really wonderful. So I just wanted to share that, you know, me and my dog went on multiple little nature hikes and stuff like that, and it was really beautiful. And also their cabins, like next to the bed, like the wall is almost like almost the whole wall is a window. So you feel like you're falling asleep beneath the stars and you feel like you're waking up with the sun every day. And it's just really lovely. All right. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking orange besom tea, which is like a chocolate orange tea. It's one of my favorite things of the holidays. I still have chocolate oranges on the table next to me. So orange besom is a rich chocolate sweet orange tea. So it is Parati, with orange, cacao nibs, blue corn flowers, and it is just one of my favorites. It's very reminiscent of a chocolate orange, and it's called orange besom because because Parati is also known as witch's broom, and what is a witch's broom if not a besom? So orange besom. So we're going to talk a little bit about the power of Parati. So we're going to talk a little bit about it. This comes to us from clubmagichour.com. So the power of Parati. So Para is unique because it's double fermented black tea. So although the Chinese have known Para's amazing benefits for centuries, it became a prize discovery among Western tea lovers fairly recently. Only the leaves coming from the province of Yunnan and put under a strictly controlled fermentation process. And it just develops this really unique wine-like taste. So truly, the tea is a crown jewel among natural remedies due to its bioactive compounds. So here's some benefits of black tea, and then we'll talk about what sets this type apart. So black tea promotes heart health. Black tea decreases the chances of dementia. Black tea lowers blood pressure and blood sugar as well. And black tea contains L-theanine, which is an amino acid that is responsible for the balanced delivery of caffeine. So it's less likely to have like those spikes and crashes that we typically kind of associate with caffeine. So how is this double fermented tea different? As mentioned before, Para is set up even a step above traditional black tea, both to do with its vital nature as well as its exquisite quality. So Para purifies toxins from your physical body and helps eliminate free radicals, which are linked to aging and a host of other diseases. Para also reduces stress and promotes healthy bones. Para has been used for weight loss over many centuries due to its vibrant probiotic elements. Para can alleviate the heavy feelings of fatty food and indulgence and is perfect for keto dieters as it helps the liver process high fat food content. So yeah, a lot of people also use it for intermittent fasting because I don't know the rules of intermittent fasting, but I guess you're allowed to drink no calorie waters like during the fasting. I hate even talking about like diet culture, so this is making me feel icky. But apparently people also use it for that. So yeah, we'll have a link to this article so you can check out the website Club Magic Hour. They're all about teas and stuff, super fun. They have tea wear and things like that, super cute. I actually want to check real quick. Oh, super cute. Yeah, definitely check it out. It's a cutie patootie website for sure. All right, so moving into some headlines. This comes to us from W Magazine, and this was published on January 6th. Let's see, it was written by Elizabeth Nichols, recasting witchcraft as the ultimate act of feminist rebellion. So we've talked a little bit about this in terms of books that have been coming out recently with this idea, which we talked about, I think, last week. So we'll just read a quick little bit. But witches, typically peasant women with no political power, were hunted and burned at the stake for centuries, scapegoats for everything from shipwrecks to famine. Powerful men rounded up witches to distract from their own failures. Christian monotheists demonized them for claiming powers on par with gods, and indeed, possibly for their similarly behaving as Jesus, who also healed the sick, cast spells, and placed hexes. The line between a witch and a prophet perhaps has always been a gender. So again, we talked about this last week a little bit about, men were also persecuted during the witch trials. But we do have to acknowledge that it was like 86% were women. And why is that, And so that is kind of what these books are trying to figure out. So I'll link you to this article. It has a few book recommendations to check out. So yeah. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, January 24th. The waning gibbous moon weighs the pros and cons in Libra today. Here, the moon engages with the conjunction of the Sun, Mercury, and Pluto through a square. These energies point to difficult conversations that may not be going well, as they have to do with dealing with uncomfortable truths. We shy away from these things in our day-to-day lives because they are discomforting, and we feel better about them when we don't have to think about them. Unfortunately, with these influences, it's becoming harder and harder to ignore these ugly truths. Since Mercury is still in early retrograde, it's unlikely that anything will be solved at this time. This is more of a moment of uncovering and reflecting on what we see. Take this time to process. There will be a moment at which we will need to process with each other, but now is more about processing on your own. So soak in the moment and get ready for what is to come. Your daily moon mantra is, the best thinking is rethinking. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Today's episode is brought to you by the journal Evolution of a Witch, 150 Journal Prompts for Witches by Tanya Brown. So Evolution of a Witch is a prompt journal made for witches by witches. These questions can be ones you answer quickly or reflect on later, or you can ponder them intensely with friends. Do you believe in good versus evil? What three items could be used to summon you? Who has been the most impactful person in your practice? These questions are meant to not only help you think about life from a new perspective, but your magic as well. Whether you want to write your responses and then move on, or use this journal as a jumping off point for future conversations, debates, classes, or even books, it's a judgment-free space for you to share your thoughts and ideas. A full-color journal with 150 prompts, you can take your time, integrate it into weekly journaling sessions, or use it as conversation starters with other magical people in your life. Find it now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. All right. So while this technically should be a headline, I thought it was really interesting. So I wanted to mention it. It was actually published November of 2021, and I just kind of missed it. So I wanted to talk about it. It is from heritagedaily.com. It is under the column of archaeology. So archaeologists uncover statues of Aphrodite and Dionysus in Turkey. Archaeologists have discovered statues representing Aphrodite and Dionysus in the city of, Azanoi was an ancient Greek city in western Anatolia, located in what is now Cappadocia, near present-day Turkey. So I apologize. These are letters I don't even recognize. I'm trying my best. Present-day Turkey, near where this ancient city was. So basically, this city has been occupied since the Bronze Age, emerging in the Hellenistic period as an important political and economic center. In 133 BC, the city was bequeathed to Rome, becoming part of the Roman province. So surviving remains from the period include quite a few things. So they've got quite a few stuff going on. Temple of Zeus, a theater stadium complex. So they have like some really cool artifacts. And this article, which I'll link in the podcast as I do, has pictures of these artifacts. And it is honestly like the most we've seen, I think, from a lot of things being uncovered. Like this temple is still like fully built and up, and it's incredible. Excavations were conducted as a part of the Penkalos project, where archaeologists found two heads depicting Aphrodite as an ancient Greek goddess associated with love, lust, beauty, pleasure, passion, and procreation, and Dionysus, the god of the grape harvest, wine, fertility, orchards, fruit, vegetation, insanity, ritual madness, religious ecstasy, festivity, and theater in ancient Greek religion and myth. What a diverse, what diverse themes, you know, to be a god over. Grapes, wine, fertility, vegetation, insanity, religious ecstasy, and theater. I love it. So, previous excavations have uncovered fragments of a statue depicting Hygieia, a goddess of health, cleanliness, and hygiene, which combined with the latest discovery sheds a new light on the polytheistic worship in Roman times and suggests the presence of an ancient sculpture workshop in the region. How freaking cool. So, yeah, check it out. The pictures are really cool. I'm so sorry I can't pronounce these things. I really am. Like, I'm so sorry. All right, so we're going to do a prompt from our prompt book. We've been doing prompts from Evolution of a Witch, 150 journal prompts for witches for meditations, writings, discussion, classes, books, whatever. And we're using it today as a discussion point. And I try to post these on the Facebook page, so I will try. So the question we have for you today is, what element do you most relate to and why? Fire, earth, air, water, or spirit? I know some people prefer to keep it to the four. We did the fifth in case you want to get frisky. But I think it's a good question. I'm saying this by default because I've never put a ton of thought too much into it. But I think because of my sign, I'm an Aries, I tend to relate most to fire. But of course, here's the thing. I think we all relate to different aspects of it, of the different elements. And I think we all relate to each one differently or in a little bit of a different way. So for me, it is fire because I'm an Aries and I can be kind of aggressive and passionate and very forward moving. I do also feel like I relate to earth. Because I do feel like I'm a very consistent, grounded person. I tend to be the house people go to. I tend to be the host. And it's just a role I'm very comfortable in. I like to take care of people. But I also relate to air because I love learning and knowledge and academia and things like that. I would say the element I relate to the least is water. I don't think I'm a particularly emotional person or like overly emotional. I think that's it for me. But of course, these are prompts you want to like really take time with and really think about, but off the cusp, that's what I think. All right, witches. So let's see. Do we have magic for today? We do. Let's see. Something I did want to do, every month in Witch Way magazine, we have messages for each sign. And it dawned on me today that this is like a missed opportunity for me to share this with you. So real quick, I'm going to give each sign their message. They're really short, so it's not like a long thing. But Aries, be softer than you think is necessary. You'll actually end up getting more of what you want that way. Taurus, you're remembering that there's another side of the story, the bright side. There is always something to look forward to. Gemini, sticking to the plan isn't always the fun thing to do, but forgetting the rules takes you on an unnecessarily critical path. Cancer, you're the only one blocking you from your inevitable success. Leo, listen to yourself and trust. Don't second guess yourself off course. Virgo, nothing you're going through isn't meant to be gone through. Libra, while sometimes devastating or jarring, life-changing revelations can be used as a tool to get closer to your dreams. Scorpio, Sometimes it can be difficult to prevent yourself from getting wrapped up in whether the decision you made was the right one. It doesn't matter. Just go back to sleep, and in the morning, it'll be better. Sagittarius, you love a straightforward solution, but the problem isn't always a straight path. You can't actually control anything, and you're going to have to get used to it. Capricorn, even when you feel like you're being clear and direct, consider that not everyone is on the same page or even reading the same book. Act with more clarity. Aquarius, you still have to reinforce boundaries even when you're having fun and don't want to. It never gets easier to say no when what you want isn't good for you, but it'll make you stronger in the end. And then finally, Pisces, you've been thinking you can't break the rules if you made them for yourself. But it turns out you can. You can't expect people to respect your boundaries if you don't know how to stop when you've gone too far. So, a little messages. This is for January, so we're a little later in the game, but it really dawned on me. I was like, why don't I ever share these with everybody? All right. So, we're going to do a card pull, and then we're going to wrap it up. Our card today is the Cosmic Creatures deck, and our card today is the Lion. Pride, Legacy, and Courage. King of the jungle, the lion wears its mane regally among its pride. The lion is a natural-born leader, directing others with an authoritative ease. Inventive and perceptive, the lion encourages you to step into a role of leadership and believe wholeheartedly in your vision. You are here to build a lasting contribution beyond your lifetime, which means you need a strong team to help you do it. The legacy you create will take courage, willpower, and strength to get the wheels in motion, but you have all the resources in the world to do it, as you boldly set an example for others. The lion points to the innate power you must tap into so you can maximize your efforts to the fullest. Be careful of your passion turning into anger, as this could be the quickest way to lose your devoted following. When you learn to channel that anger into constructive outlets, you will be an unstoppable force. All right, witches. So that's all I've got for you today. I do want to give a shout out to listener Bia Fries. Bia, you fancy, insidious butterfly. I also want to give a shout out to Breck Gonzalez. Breck, you magical, scholarly, tropical fish. And then finally, Brianna Nibs. Brianna, you Arcadian, loyal muskox. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And let's see. That's it. Any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. Hope you have a great day, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.